Hey everybody, welcome to our morning devos. We're continuing on in 2 Samuel. Yesterday, if you joined us, we read the first part of 2 Samuel chapter 23, and today we're going to be reading the rest of the chapter. So we're starting at 2 Samuel chapter 23, verse 8. We'll read it through the rest of the chapter. So this is 2 Samuel chapter 23, verse 8. This is a little bit of a longer passage, and so if you don't already have the passage in front of you, I just want to invite you to have that, read it along with me right now. All right, so let me read this passage, 2 Samuel chapter 23, starting from verse 8. These are the names of the mighty men whom David had: Josheph, Bashabeth, a Tachmonite. He was the chief of the three. He wielded his spear against 800 whom he killed at one time. Next to him among the three mighty men was Eleazar, the son of Dodo, son of Ahohi. He was with David when they defied the Philistines, who were gathered there for battle, and the men of Israel withdrew. He rose and struck down the Philistines until his hand was weary, and his hand clung to the sword. The Lord brought about a great victory that day, and the men returned after him only to strip the slain. And next to him was Shammah, the son of Agi, the Hararite. The Philistines gathered together at Lehi, where there was a plot of ground full of lentils, and the men fled from the Philistines. But he took his stand in the midst of the plot and defended it and struck down the Philistines. The Lord worked a great victory. And three of the 30 chief men went down and came about harvest time to David at the cave of Adullam, when a band of Philistines was encamped in the valley of Rephaim. David was then in the stronghold, and the garrison of the Philistines was then at Bethlehem. And David said longingly, "Oh, that someone would give me water to drink from the well of Bethlehem that is by the gate." Then the three mighty men broke through the camp of the Philistines and drew water out of the well of Bethlehem that was by the gate and carried and brought it to David. But he would not drink of it. He poured it out to the Lord and said, "Far be it from me, O Lord, that I should do this. Shall I drink the blood of the men who went at the risk of their lives?" Therefore he would not drink it. These things the three mighty men did. Now Abishai, the brother of Joab, the son of Zeruiah, was chief of the 30. And he wielded his spear against 300 men and killed them, and won a name beside the three. He was the most renowned of the 30 and became their commander, but he did not attain to the three. And Benaiah, the son of Jehoiada, was a valiant man of Kabzeel, a doer of great deeds. He struck down two Ariels of Moab. He also went down and struck down a lion in a pit on a day when the snow had fallen. And he struck down an Egyptian, a handsome man. The Egyptian had a spear in his hand, but Benaiah went down to him with a staff and snatched the spear out of the Egyptian's hand and killed him with his own spear. These things did Benaiah, the son of Jehoiada, and won a name beside the three mighty men. He was renowned among the 30, but did not attain to the three. And David set him over his bodyguard. Azahel, the brother of Joab, was one of the 30. Elhanan, the son of Dodo of Bethlehem. Shammah of Harad. Elikah of Harad. Helez the Peltite. Ira, the son of Ikesh of Tekoa, Abiezer of Anathoth, Mebunai, the Hushathite, Zalman, the Ahohite, Maharai of Netepha, Heleb, the son of Bana of Natopha, Ittai, the son of Ribai of Gibeah of the people of Benjamin, Benaiah of Pirathon, Hide of the brooks of Gash, Abi Alban, the Arbathite, Asmaveth of Baharim, Eliaba, the Shalbanite, the sons of Jashen, Jonathan, Shama, the Hararite, Ahiam, the son of Sharar, the Hararite, Eliphelet, the son of Ahisbai, of Makkah, Eliam, the son of Ahithophel, the Gilonite, Hezro of Carmel, Parai, the Arbite, Egal, the son of Nathan, of Zobah, Bani, the Gadite, Zelek, the Ammonite, Naharai of Beeroth, the armor-bearer of Joab, the son of Zeruiah, Ira the Ithrite, Gareb the Ithrite, Uriah the Hittite, 37 in all. All right, a lot of different names. I probably butchered a few of them there, but I hope you get the gist that in the rest of 2 Samuel 23, that we're given this breakdown of David's mighty men. These men are the people who have stuck by David through thick and thin. You know, they are leaders, commanders, valiant warriors, and some of them were part of David's ragtag crew, even from when he was on the run from King Saul, and others are men who joined them at various points in his battles over the years. Regardless of when they joined, these are all men who stood by David and served him faithfully And when I read this, it sort of reads like a montage of heroes, doesn't it? From the highest to the lowest, you got like the mighty three, and then you got the 30, and we're told their names and then the kind of roles that they played. And for some of them, we see tales of their bravery and their service to King David. And there are some pretty cool stories here. I feel like you could turn this into like a movie or something. But one that always stands out to me when I read this part of 2 Samuel is found in verses 13 through 17. So here we read that while David was in the cave of Adullam, he longingly said, "Oh, that someone would give me water to drink from the well of Bethlehem, that is by the gate." Now, this isn't just a random statement, but you have to remember that David was originally from the town of Bethlehem. So he likely had some fond memories. I don't think it was particularly because like the water at Bethlehem was so good, or maybe it was, but it's most likely that it was just being essentially nostalgic. He had these fond memories. And so on top of just simply the memories itself, you have to remember that he's in a cave right now. He's in battle. He's likely on the run right now. And so this is actually a very humanizing moment. It's a time where David is just longing for some level of comfort and familiarity in this time of great uncertainty. Now, the problem, however, was that at this point in history, the Philistines, the enemies of Israel, were occupying Bethlehem. So to get water from this very specific well would mean to have to somehow bypass the enemy to do so. And so it's likely that David didn't actually expect anyone to do this. In fact, scholars will say that these words weren't said as a command or with any kind of expectation, but as sort of like a sigh, just a longing of the heart, like, "Oh, I wish I could have that," but not real expectation to actually have someone get it for him. Having said that, we do read that some of David's mighty men actually did go and get the water. The mighty three, these three of the 30 chief men, they broke through the Philistine camp, drew water out of the well of Bethlehem that was by the gate, and brought it all the way to David. What an amazing act of service, right? What a brave act. We can see from this just how devoted David's men were to him. They revered him and were willing to serve him, even risking their lives to do so when he just uttered a sigh. Even the sighs of their Lord and King were like a command to him that they desired to follow, not out of some kind of obligation, but they wanted to do. Right? That's a pretty amazing thing. Now, what comes next, though, is, to me at least, quite shocking. We read that once they brought the water to him, rather than drinking it, David pours it out. I often read this and would think to myself, what a waste. I mean, to me, when I would read something like this, in my mind, it'd be the equivalent of me cooking a nice meal for my wife to eat as soon as she gets home from a long day of work. She sometimes has such busy days that she can't even eat lunch. And so, I'm preparing a meal for her to eat as soon as she gets home. But when she gets home, instead of eating it, she throws it in the trash. I mean, it doesn't make sense, right? Like, why would you do that? And that's how I often understood this passage. But there's actually a much more meaningful explanation to this than simply just negligence or being rude. And the key detail is in verse 16. In verse 16, we read that the men bring back the water, and it says David would not drink of it, and instead, he poured it out to the Lord. That's the key point. He poured it out to the Lord. You see, David didn't just pour out the water to be dramatic. He did it as an offering to God. It was an act of worship. The Israelites had a form of offering called a drink offering. And we see actually the first scriptural example of this in Genesis 35:14, when Jacob sets up a stone pillar and pours out a drink offering on it. David pouring out the water in 2 Samuel 23 is like it. It's an act of worship to God. You see, David saw the valiant effort of his men, and he knew that the drink of this water would mean that he was putting greater value on the water than on the men who had acted so bravely and loyally. By pouring it out, he was actually honoring them. And specifically, by pouring it out to the Lord, he was thanking God for such men in his life, as well as for protecting them in this endeavor. As I wrap things up, I think there are a couple of things we can take away from this passage, and specifically these few verses of this passage. For one, do we have hearts like that of David's mighty men when it comes to our own devotion to God? Are we like these men, following the words of our Lord with eager longing, listening even for his sighs, so that we might hear it and obey it? I was meeting up with a brother back in the summer, and as he was sharing, he kept coming back to this idea of wanting to live in a way that brings God the greatest joy. And I was so blessed by that. Sometimes we fall into this mentality of doing things because we know we're supposed to, or as if we need to appease God, that these are just rules that we need to follow and we begrudgingly do because that's what we're, you know, that's what will make, you know, satisfy God in some way. You know, at the end of the day, obedience still is obedience, but what this brother was saying was such an encouragement to me and quite refreshing, to be honest. And I think it's very similar to what these men's approach to David. They wanted to bring delight toward God, bring great joy to David. And so for us, like this brother, like David's men, are we living in such a way where we desire to bring joy to God? I hope that we do that and that we continue to do that. The second takeaway, second thing we can learn from David, is that we can learn from David the importance of having our priorities straight. David knew in that moment that what was important wasn't the water, but the one who provided it, and who is, of course, God. In the same way, let's continue to worship and give thanks to our provider. Of course, give thanks for the gifts God has given you and be good stewards of them. But let's always make sure to turn our attention to God first and foremost and give him praise, not make it about ourselves or about the people, but about God. To close, let me just pray for us as we wrap up our time together. Father, we thank you for this time in your word this day. And Lord, God, we want to be a people who bring you joy and want to bring you joy. You know, as we follow you and follow your ways, we don't want to be a people who are begrudgingly just kind of doing stuff, doing things just because we're supposed to, or you know, we think this is going to appease you somehow. Lord, we want to listen for you. Listen even for the whispers, the sighings of your heart, and willingly, gladly jump into these things, because that's how much we love you. That's how much we've devoted ourselves to you. I know, God, that sometimes we're not there all the time, but help us to become more and more like that, more and more, to fall more and more in love with you, be devoted to you in this kind of way. And Lord, kind of on the other part of this story, Lord, help us also be like David, recognizing that all that we have received from you, that these things are great, we want to be good stewards of them. But Lord, at the end of the day, Lord, we want to worship you, give thanks to you for all that we have received, Lord. And so, Father, we thank you. Thank you for the way that you speak to us today. Continue to move in our lives. We offer up our day to you. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.